Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today's topic, well, we're calling it a holiday extravaganza. You know, the holidays are upon us, ushering it in with, of course, Thanksgiving, but then moving right into the holidays after that, including Hanukkah and Christmas. We're going to be talking a little bit later with an expert on Jewish studies who is telling us about how holiday traditions have evolved here in the U.S. to mark Hanukkah. But first, we are pleased to welcome to the show our Peak Radar regular. He joins us usually on Friday mornings, Jonathan Toman. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Shannon. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, so glad to talk to you about this subject. So about this time is when everyone is ready to do special things that you only get to do during the holiday season. And I know that's probably not the only thing you're going to be telling us about, but let's talk about some of these cultural offerings, seasonal offerings that people can take part in to really get in the spirit of the season.
Absolutely, Shannon. It's a fun time to visit peakradar.com with all of the upcoming events that are holiday related or not holiday related, depending on how you're feeling over
sure.
the coming weeks. But I've got six different holiday related events to talk about with you this morning that are coming up over the next week and change to kind of whet your appetite, if you will, for some of these. And we'll start, in fact, in Woodland Park on Saturday, November 27th. The Mountain Artists of Teller County are hosting their annual holiday show and sale at the Ute Pass Cultural Center. Free admission, refreshments, and showcases of art in acrylic, oil, watercolor, photography, woodworking, all kinds of fun stuff. And there's actually going to be a drawing for a $10 coupon every half hour, which the winner can spend with any of the artists at the event. So 9 to 4 up the pass in Woodland Park. Oak Harbor City is hosting their Christmas stroll on Saturday evening. 5 to 8 p.m., where you can, of course, check out holiday treats and fun at many of the shops along the avenue there with Christmas specials. But also, the Colorado Dickens Carolers will be in Bancroft Park from 5 to 7 to help set the mood and spirit, if you will, for the holiday season in Old Colorado City. Cottonwood Center for the Arts, we're still on Saturday here, Shannon. We've got a bunch
boy.
Going on.
Oh, boy.
11 a.m. to 4 p.m. At Cottonwood Center for the Arts. They're hosting their holiday art and gift market. Pottery, jewelry, textiles, paintings, all sorts of fun at Cottonwood. What's kind of fun this year is that it'll be held outdoors in their newly remodeled alley courtyard, where you'll be able to peruse over 40 vendors, tables, and explore all the art within the facility as well. So a little bit of both going on there. A little different holiday event, Saturday and Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. and on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday at the Black Forest Community Center is the 16th annual Holiday Alpaca Extravaganza. 11 local alpaca farms will have all kinds of different alpaca-related items, gift items, things that are made from alpaca fiber and alpaca blends, garments, socks, accessories, and of course you can also say hello to some alpacas as well. We have multiple versions of the Nutcracker that are on peakradar.com that you can check out really across the Pikes Peak region. I want to say there are four different versions, but one I want to highlight is the Colorado Springs Philharmonic. Friday the 26th through Sunday the 28th, there will be multiple performances of the Nutcracker, short and sweet. A 60-minute version of the Nutcracker, which is perfect for families, for both young audiences and the young at heart. They'll partner with the Oklahoma City Ballet, and this is their full-strength return, if you will, for the Philharmonic this year. So that's exciting over the weekend. And then finally, into next week, Thursday, December 2nd, the Fountain Creek Watershed District and Trails and Open Space Coalition are partnering with the Wild and Scenic to present the Wild and Scenic Film Fest. Featuring 10 Wild and Scenic Film Festival short films about the natural world. First five films highlight some of the challenges we face with sustainable water, and the second group of five raise awareness about the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion in our parks and on our trails. This, Shannon, is a virtual and in-person event, so if you can attend on the second, great, at Storybook Brewing, but if you can't, you can also watch the films at home as well. So it is a big upcoming few weeks, and I haven't scratch the surface, if you will. So ZeekRadar.com to see anything and everything you might want to check out over this holiday season.
Right. And when you're unpacking all of that, it sounds like, Jonathan, that some of these events, because some of them are very regular events, you know, every season they happen. But it sounds like they're really taking into mind that we are out of the dark times of the pandemic of last year, right? Last Christmas season and holiday season, it was definitely a much different feel to some of these big gathering events. So we're out of that, but still these organizers of these events are taking some of those concerns into mind, because, you know, holding, whether it's a virtual and, you know, and an in-person event, or having an outdoor event space that opens up. I mean, it certainly allows people to go to their comfort level, I guess.
No doubt. I think, Shannon, we've shifted from last year to from not having events completely, just 100%, you know, not being able to make them happen, to this year, either making them happen as they have happened, or with just slight adjustments to fit where people are living in the midst of the pandemic, whether that's completely virtual or if you want to stay outside during an event, but also having the option to go inside and have that different sort of experience. So it's obvious in the fact that we have a holiday guide that we put together every year, which usually features dozens of events. Last year we didn't have it because there simply wasn't enough going on. This year we do have it. And there are dozens of things. So there is a rebound, if you will, from last year, with slight addendums depending on, you know, who's hosting the events and where they're located, and, you know, at this point of the year, how cold it is outside as well.
Well, we've been lucky. It's been relatively warm, I mean, considering. All right. We're going to ask you, Jonathan Thoman, to stick around because we're going to be checking in with you at the end of this show. When we come back, while many people are probably more familiar with Christmas, there are other faiths, other people that are celebrating different holidays this year. We're going to be talking about one of them when we come back with this edition of The Extra. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to this segment of The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you, important to our community, and really help bring us closer. And today's topic, we are exploring all things holiday. Well, we know that everyone probably around this time of year celebrates some sort of holiday, but they're not always the same holidays. While many Christians are celebrating Christmas, there is another holiday observance that's going on for people of the Jewish faith. And joining us now, Samira Mehta, who's a professor of women and Jewish studies from CU Boulder, who's joining us to talk about the modern Hanukkah traditions and some ways that families have adapted traditions, whether it's because they're in an interfaith family or whether it's because the pandemic has caused celebrations to be marked in different ways. So first of all, Samira, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Mehta, we know that you've written a book called Beyond Chrismica, the Christian-Jewish Interfaith Family in the United States. So obviously it sounds like interfaith markings and honorings of this holiday season have become more prevalent.
I think that's absolutely true, and it's true for a lot of reasons. It's hard to say how many Jewish people are in interfaith marriages because we in the scholarly world and sort of Jewish leaders disagree about how you decide. Not scholars disagree with rabbis, but there's a lot of disagreement in counting Jews as to how to decide who counts, so it's hard to get solid numbers. But estimates say 40 to 50% of American Jews are married to someone who is not Jewish, often somebody who is Christian or sort of post-Christian, right? Somebody from a family that is historically Protestant or Catholic. But sometimes, of course, the Hindus or Buddhists or Muslims. And so in those households, you see interfaith families, but also we live in an increasingly diverse society where you might have a next door neighbor who celebrates something different than you do. And if you get along really well with your neighbors, my mother, for instance, shared a lawnmower with the next door neighbors for about 15 years, you might get invited to their house to join them for a piece of their celebration at some point.
Right. I was just thinking about this just casually, even before I had arranged for this interview. And just in my own group of cousins, I think I have about 9 cousins. 2 of them are in interfaith Jewish and Christian marriages and relationships. So this is something that probably hits close to home for a lot more people than even realize it. You know, once you start thinking about it, who in your circle might be marking these joined sort of traditions. But let's talk about, in its basic form, the tradition of Hanukkah. What is it?
So Hanukkah is a celebration of light. It happens based on a lunar calendar, so it moves around a little bit. But generally speaking, it starts sometime after Thanksgiving, although kind of impressively several years ago, it actually started on Thanksgiving. But generally starts sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it lasts for 8 days. And the Hanukkah story is basically a story of a variety of things, but one of them is Jewish survival. In sort of the ancient world, there was a moment when the temple in Jerusalem that was at the time the center of Jewish worship was destroyed. There's a light that needs to be kept lit sort of constantly and eternally. When the sort of community came back into the temple, there was enough oil to last for one day, and it was going to take 8 days to get more oil, and miraculously, that one day worth of oil lasted for 8 days. In the contemporary context, people therefore celebrate by lighting a candelabra called a menorah or a hanukkiah, and it is a 9-candle candelabra, and so there is one candle called the shamash, or the basically helper candle, that you use to light all of the other candles. And on the first night, you light the shamash and use it to light the first candle. And on the second night, you light the shamash and use it to light the first and second candles, and so on, until on the 8th night, all 8 of the candles are lit. There are a couple of blessings that get said as you light the candelabra. And people also celebrate, because it's a holiday commemorating oil, by eating sort of oily foods. And so traditional foods for Hanukkah vary depending on where in the world the Jewish community in question comes from. Most, although by no means all, American Jews have their sort of heritage in Europe. And because that's sort of the dominant community, Even those who don't are often in communities where that's kind of the dominant culture. And so some of the traditional Eastern European or European foods to eat include latkes, which are fried potato pancakes.
Oh, right.
They're kind of like the, you know how you can get at a diner, there are like home fries that are chopped up potatoes and hash browns that were like grated on a box grater. They're kind of like the box grater kind of hash browns, but they usually are held together with some binding agent, like egg or flour. Egg and flour, usually. And also a traditional food is jelly donuts.
Jelly donuts. Okay. That sounds delish. When we're talking about this, it sounds like this is a celebration that is taking place in a home around a dining table, not necessarily like you'll see in many Christian faiths where you're actually going to church either the night before or the day of Christmas. So is that what I'm to understand?
Yes. So that is an excellent question. I think in the United States, for a lot of reasons, proximity to Christmas, but also sort of some of the same things that happened in kind of the development of Christmas, kind of as the Industrial Revolution made it possible to have, you know, like lots of presents and lots of ornaments kind of mass produced and easily available. Sometimes Hanukkah American Jews changed their Hanukkah celebration in relationship to what was going on because they were in a Christian society. Sometimes it's just the same sort of cultural forces caused Christmas to grow in a certain way. And, you know, everyone was living in the same world. And so as you can get cheap Christmas tree ornaments, you can also get mass-produced menorahs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this tendency to think of Hanukkah as like a major Jewish holiday. And it's certainly in kind of the lives of many American Jews, particularly people with kids, because there's a present piece of Hanukkah, it can be a really important holiday. And so I don't want anyone listening to this to hear me say Hanukkah is not an important holiday, because there are lots of people who may experience it as really important. But in the sort of Jewish liturgical year, right, the sort of this important holidays that people go to synagogue for.
Sure.
Hanukkah is a very minor holiday.
Okay.
Dr. Mehta,
we need to take a short break for commercials here. When we come back, let's pick up on this, because it is in the tradition of the Jewish holidays, where its place is. Also, you mentioned the gift-giving component of it. I want to find out a little bit more about that as we continue with our focus on holidays, how they are celebrated throughout the Pikes Peak region and across the nation. That's coming up as we continue our discussion. Dr. Samira Mehta will be continuing our discussion and conversation after this. We're back with Dr. Samira Mehta, a professor at CU Boulder who focuses on women and Jewish studies, and she's talking to us about modern traditions in the Jewish faith here in America. And we were talking about where in the panoply of Jewish holidays and holy days where Hanukkah falls. And you were describing a little bit about it, but one thing that doesn't happen, it sounds like, is people of the Jewish faith are not going to temple for the days of Hanukkah. Is that correct?
Basically, I mean, there is likely most synagogues will often have some sort of Hanukkah party, but it's not necessarily the thing happening in the sanctuary. It's maybe more of a community building event, right? This is a community that you might gather and have fun with. So I mentioned the fried potato pancakes. There are, for instance, synagogues that will have a party where you, like, everyone brings their own and there's a contest and, you know, who makes the best traditional ones, who makes the best sort of innovative ones.
That's a title, yeah.
You know, around here, I'm sure there is somebody making them with Hatch chilies, right?
Ooh, okay.
And what, you know, they're traditionally served with applesauce and sour cream. I've had latkes that are designed to be served with salsa, right, that are made kind of, I have a friend from San Antonio who makes Tex-Mex latkes.
Latkes.
I have seen people making them out of sweet potato or out of yam, right? Like different variations. And so you might have a latke off contest, like a chili off, right? But it's not something, it's kind of like having the Christmas bazaar, right? Like if a church has a Christmas fair, that's not the midnight mass.
I got it.
It's not potentially a really important part of the synagogue's kind of life. But it's not an important part of the synagogue's life that is happening in the sanctuary. It's really a home-based celebration. And of course, Jews have those big synagogue-based celebrations is maybe the wrong word, but commemorations like the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are the Jewish New Year and the Day of Atonement, which are usually in September or October, because again, this is a lunar calendar. And then there's another really big, really important holiday in the spring, Passover. But Passover is a similarly home-based holiday. So many really important things in Judaism happen in the home. Passover is really important sort of from an official Jewish liturgical year standpoint. Hanukkah is really not. It's a minor holiday. But again, it can be very important in the lives of American Jews, particularly as you're watching the world be decorated for Christmas.
Sure, sure. And with children who may not understand the difference and they don't want to feel excluded, certainly. So giving gifts to children, that's a thing during Hanukkah?
Yes. So many families, and of course, how people handle their gift giving is as varied in Judaism and around Hanukkah as it is in Christian families or in Christmas celebrating families, right? Many, many Americans who do not self-identify as Christians celebrate Christmas, in which there are people who give, right, like big, lavish gifts, and then there are families that are more modest in their gift giving for either financial or for kind of philosophic reasons, right? And there is lots of sort of conversation about how to do that. That's the same in Judaism, but a very standard thing that people do, there are 8 nights, children often get a gift on each night, and what that looks like might be different. So in some families, there's one very big gift, and it's either given on the first night or the last night, and then there are other sort of more minor gifts throughout the celebration. In some families, you might get a night when you get your gifts from your grandparents, and that means you don't get a gift from your parents that night. The joke is that you get one really good present, and then you get socks or pajamas or something.
Seven pairs of socks the other nights. Yeah, I get it.
Right. And there is definitely, particularly because probably of the Christmas pajamas trend, there is a Hanukkah pajamas trend. So you might get like a nice pair of cozy winter pajamas or even Hanukkah pajamas one night. I know a lot of families who have a tradition of having one night be a night that you get a book. And so there's a night that every kid gets a book.
Oh, that's
maybe
lovely.
A book that they're excited about. And so people do different things, but usually it's 8 nights of presents. But that doesn't mean you get, you know, a dollhouse or a new bicycle every night for a week.
Well, talk about lucky. Okay, kids, calm down. Samira, why don't you continue?
Well, I think it's like Christmas, right?
Yeah.
In lots of families, you get one big present, and then you get maybe, you know, I have friends who they give their kids a big present for Christmas, and then they get a book, and they get a pair of cozy pajamas.
Oh, it's
that it all happens on one
certainly
morning rather than spread out over.
Certainly, sounds like a lovely tradition, and sounds like a lovely way to mark this special time of year. We've been listening to Dr. Samira Mehta, who's been filling us in on some of the traditions surrounding Hanukkah, a holiday of which some people may be less aware of, and we're all about exposing people to all sorts of cultural happenings. And certainly when we're talking about marking the holidays, we include Hanukkah right in there. So Dr. Mehta, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and sharing how families are celebrating this holiday of Hanukkah, whether they are a full-on Jewish family or, as you mentioned earlier, an interfaith family, which is marking a different tradition. So this has been enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll have more of the extra after this. We're back, and our guest who started us off this hour, Jonathan Toman from Peak Radar. Peak Radar is the site to go to find out all of what's happening this holiday season and really all year long here in the Pikes Peak region. Jonathan, is it tough to sift through all those many happenings to bring us these highlighted ones?
Yes, is the short answer. Peak Radar receives, you know, on average, probably 3,500 events per year listed from local organizations across El Paso and Teller County. So there's no lack of options if you're looking for things to do across the year. But one of the great things for us is that we have so many different ways that we can talk about events and leverage them. We have a weekly e-blast that goes out on Wednesday nights. We have lodging picks that we send to local hotels. We have our social media pages. We have my weekly interviews with you, Shannon. So we can pick and choose across those platforms what events fit best for the platform that we're reaching people on.
Right.
So that helps us spread the wealth around.
And certainly as we are entering into this last week of November, moving into December, I mean, things do seem to heat up. I mean, the holiday events on the weekends, I mean, goodness, you could drive yourself silly going around to all of them. So you gotta really pick and choose, right?
Yeah, 100%. And the good news is we're back to, you know, more or less where we were pre-pandemic is the events that are offered. And so you have the options, and I'd rather folks have the options than have no options at all.
Right. Certainly. Well, you brought us some of your, I think, you know, highlighted, spotlighted picks at the top of the hour. So let's rerun them just so people can hear what they are, maybe get their appetites whetted for going and seeing and experiencing some of these again.
Absolutely, Shannon. I'll help folks brainstorm. We've got a good grouping of events over the next week and change. We'll start in Woodland Park with the Mountain Artists Holiday Show and Sale. That is Saturday, November 27th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. At the UPass Cultural Center. We'll be able to check out all the art that is showcased from them, oil, acrylics, watercolor paintings, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're in Woodland Park, a great opportunity to check out some local art. Eau Claire City is hosting their Christmas Stroll on Saturday evening, 5 to 8 p.m., where all of the shops along the avenue will have different treats and fun and Christmas specials. And they'll also have the Colorado Dickens Carolers in Bancroft Park from 5 to 7 p.m. to help you get in the holiday spirit. The Holiday Art and Gift Market is at Cottonwood Center for the Arts on Saturday as well. That's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Cottonwood, where you can check out pottery, jewelry, paintings, all sorts of fun. And it's an outdoor event where you can also go inside, but they'll have the newly remodeled alley courtyard where some of the vendors will be located, depending on your comfort level with going inside and checking out the art. Alpacas will be showcased at the 16th Annual Holiday Alpaca Extravaganza at the Black Forest Community Center. That's Saturday and Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday. Unique alpaca-related items from 11 local farms will be in one location where you can find products made from alpaca fiber, blends, there'll be socks, fashion apparel, accessories, and of course you can meet some alpacas as well. The final two, Shannon, the Colorado Springs Philharmonic is returning in full strength with the Nutcracker Short and Sweet. That is Friday the 26th through Sunday the 28th at the Pikes Peak Center for the Performing Arts. Featuring the Oklahoma City Ballet, they'll have an hour-long production of the Nutcracker, perfect for young audiences and the young at heart. And then finally, the Wild and Scenic Film Fest is next week, Thursday, December 2nd at 5 p.m. At Storybook Brewing. That is presented by the Fountain Creek Watershed District and the Trails and Open Space Coalition. Well, they'll have 10 different films that focus on, short films, excuse me, that focus on the natural world. That is virtual and in person, so if you can't make the physical event on the 2nd, you can also watch the films virtually if you can do it that way. So, yes, all kinds of holiday and upcoming events and a great time to do a little holiday local shopping if you are in need of that. And yes, speakradar.com is always busy with things that are happening in the Pikes Peak region, Shannon.
Yeah, and we'd just like to direct our listeners to that website to find out more, or you can find them, of course, on Facebook and Insta and Twitter, etc. But it is peakradar.com. Jonathan Toman, our guest for this holiday extravaganza, thanks to you. And thanks also to Dr. Samira Mehta of CU Boulder, who shared with us the traditions of Hanukkah. And we hope our listeners have enjoyed what we call a holiday extravaganza. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Shannon.